Did he at, I mean, not just during this interview, but at any other time in your own experience with Swami, ever reveal to you that he is an incarnation of Shirdi Baba?
You mean personally to me?
Or when you were maybe a witness to it? Did he ever say anything?
Well, not personally to me. This, again, I could date it back to about 1954.
Mm-hmm.
In the new mandir.
Yes.
Baba then was not giving public speeches. Small circles he would call and just give them these precious jewels of spiritual truths.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be one among them in the crowd. There was one lady, Rajeshwari, one Brahmin lady. She started to believe in Baba so much, and we could see the transparent love she had for Swami. She was an elderly lady, and her husband was a famous scientist. Then we didn't have rooms in the new mandir also.
Mm-hmm.
So if devotees had to come, they would have to get these tattis, you know, bamboo tattis as we call them. In Telugu they say tadakalu.
Yes, makeshift walls.
Something like that, you know.
A whole sheet.
Pleated bamboo strands made into a sort of a thing,
wall,
you know.
Yeah.
It's itself a slim wall-like thing.
Yes.
We had to get them, and there would be many people who'd help.
Oh, then you had, you made a...
So sort of a living shelter, and a little bathroom, etc., etc. That's the house the devotees, because there was nothing whatsoever except the plain mandir. And she, you see, she also, we were also then when she had come. She was a very orthodox Brahmin.
Mm-hmm.
Very orthodox. And people were making fun of her. Because once she would have her bath, go to Chitravati and have her bath, she would come with a wet sari, and she wouldn't come out lest other people touch her, and it contaminates her. And even to her husband, when she had worn this wet sari, and that is the way it was, the ritual, she would make him stand at a distance and keep his foot on the floor. Never give it into his hand. Well, over and above this, she used to cook. And she would be very fond of sending, we used to send in those days, very fond of giving whatever she has cooked to Swami. So Swami is to eat in the left-hand side of Prashanthi Nilayam, not the right hand now, as is his residence.
That
of course, it has changed now. It has gone to the auditorium.
Mm.
Right-hand side, he would recite
of
afterwards.
Of the mandir.
Mandir.
Yes.
And the left-hand side, you see, the middle floor.
There was the dining hall.
Swami's residence. He used to live there. And the dining hall, etc. And only some people who were given permission could take the food up. And there would be his sisters who would serve him. So this lady, she would cook, if I could call it in Kannada terms, muddy.
Mm.
Muddy, acharam.
Observing the ritual.
Yes, acharam. And with that sari, she would take, and like this, like she would sort of cover if anybody came near her, she would walk up the steps and place it. Swami tantalizingly, he would come near her and said, Chesko, putting out his feet. She would say, Ledu, Swami. She wouldn't touch Swami's feet.
Because of the muddy.
Because of the muddy and the acharam. Swami would laugh and he would indulge her. And people thought how silly she was. Imagine not touching Swami's feet. Could that be greater blasphemy?
Mm-hmm.
But she never bothered. Never bothered. She just observed her rituals most sincerely. So we never expected it one day. It was Ekadashi. And in the morning bhajan, some of us would sit in front, and to my utter discomfiture, Swami would make me sing. And this lady also, that day muddy, Ekadashi, she would not take even a drop of water. She sat apart. And you know what Swami did? These are the things I've learned from divinity, you know. How true he is. Satya, dharma, shanti, prem. He's a very concretization of it. So from childhood, I'm indebted to my parents for having brought me to God. So he came in, Swami came in. He saw this lady sitting a little apart. And then he told the devotees, make place for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, people were sort of mocking at her.
At her.
And belittling her as being extremely foolish. And what he did, he told them, make way for her. And you know where Swami's throne is? In the bhajan hall?
Yes.
On the lady's side, he asked her to come forward and sit near his throne.
So that's amazing.
And then he told her, Janakamma,
oh,
on Ekadashi day, her name was Janakamma, on Ekadashi day, in the evenings, what were you doing earlier? Then she said, Swami, on Ekadashi day, she was very simple-hearted. She said, Swami, I would go to the temples and there would be Puranas being told by some pundits and things like that. I would go there, listen to it and come back home. You don't eat anything in Ekadashi? No, no, Swami, not even a drop of water? No, Swami. All right. On Ekadashi days you were listening to Purana. I will tell you a Purana today.
Oh.
My God. And then that day, you asked me whether he had declared at any other time.
Yes, about Shirdi Baba.
That day, you know what he did? First time, he was speaking to a large crowd. A table was brought, a mic was kept. And he said it. He thumped the table. He said, I am the Vedas. It was resonant, echoed throughout the walls of Prashantinilayam. I am the scriptures. I am God. Take this opportunity. If you can understand what I am, well, make best your chances here. Do not carp and criticize and lose this opportunity. In such a stentorian voice, he said it. Of course, we knew it within ourselves. Baba had not declared it in public. That he thumped the table. I can't forget it even today. I am God himself. That was another declaration.
That is not at all a very common feature at that time.
That was the first time he was speaking to a large crowd.
Yes.
And the first time he was speaking, he made this thumping the table. Now you and I stand on a platform and say, I am the scriptures, I am the Vedas, we will be pelted with stones.
Yes.
We were all dumbfounded.
Yes.
Yes. And just, we sat there looking at him, what shall I say, not with full understanding of what he was, but absolutely stupefied at the tremendous divinity that was there in front of us. We couldn't believe.
Did he reveal to you all at that time something about the future, ma'am, at least? About what you're witnessing today unfolding before you?
Yes. Yes.
Because I heard that Swami used to tell the old devotees about events that are actually happening today.
Yes, he has told us. Sometimes jocularly, sometimes seriously, he would say, seize this golden opportunity. A time will come when huge crowds will come to Prashantinilayam and you will not have access to me. And still, more and more as time passes, you can only see the heads of humanity. You can hardly see me. You may just be able to see a little of my hair. Swami had such bushy hair then.
Yes.
And then he said, as still time passes on, I may have to fly in the sky to give you all darshan. He has made these statements, open statements.
What are some of your memories of Mother Ishwaramma and her relationship with her divine son?
I had a very close relationship with her. She loved me, I don't know what it was. What was the bond between her and me, I do not know. Whenever we would go to Puttaparthi, Swami had given her a room in Prashantinilayam. And she was the one, the only one, not even the father, who could just walk up to Swami's room at any time. He would indulge her. Oh, it was so wonderful to see it. And Swami was always very troublesome.
to the mother?
No, as regards eating. He was such a poor eater. So the sister sometimes, whatever Swami liked, they would cook and bring it from home, from the village.
Mm-hmm.
My God, the way he would dodge them. He would not eat, he would not come and sit at the plate. And then were they to serve, suppose he came and sat for a few seconds, he will eat so little, push this aside, push that aside. And sometimes when the sisters got really tired of coaxing him, they would bring the mother. And then, you see, when the mother came, Swami, tinnu Swami. Yenduku Swami nu tinnavu? She would cajole him so sweetly with the love of her mother. And
but
then,
why are you not eating?
Yes. And then he would eat a little. And he would go on indulging her. He would get lovely saris. And then all of them would be spread in the room. Ra, em kavaliku tisko. Whatever she liked, she could take. And some jewels also he would get for her. He was very fond. I mean, I do not say in the human way. But divinity, I do not know, maybe. Well, this may not be a proper opinion. Was indebted to the mother for giving him this divine body.
Maybe he was also, as he says, my life is my message.
Yes.
He was teaching us
yes.
to revere our
yes.
mothers in the same way.
And he revered his father also. Father also. The father was a wonderful person. We have known him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he could speak Telugu, no other language. And he had a provision shop. And he would diligently supply the devotees because there were no hotels and things like that at that time. And I think once in one of my talks, my father took to him very much. My father didn't know so much of Telugu, but somehow they could manage. And when we touched his feet once, with such humility, he said, "Why do you touch my feet?"
Mm-hmm.
And when we said, "You're the father of the avatar," he used to say, "I do not know. He is great. And he is for everybody. He is no more my son." This is the way he would say.
Very simple person.
Very simple.
Ma'am, you must have been present during the anointing ceremony.
Oh, yes. I am anointed, Bhagwan.
Anything connected with that you remember vividly and then related to Mother Isharamma? No?
Yes. You see, on the birthday... it was there even in the old mandir. It was a tradition where some elderly Sumangalis, devotees, they would go, Baba would sort of instruct them, plates of kumkum, haldi, flowers, fruits, and clothes for the parents, and go with a silver container, which we call, perhaps in Kannada, or I don't know, in Telugu also, chumbu, silver chumbu, we say, big one. I suppose that's the name, if I'm not mistaken.
A container, which looks like...
It is made in the traditional way, the
yes.
thing.
And like a small kalasha.
It's big. It's a big one. Big one. And then they would go, and the mother would draw the water from the well there, and then with the Purna Kumbha, and then, you know, putting those mango leaves and the coconut, it's called a kalasham. The mother and the father, and of course the elder brother was there then, Swami's elder brother. After the mother and the father, the elder brother and his wife, then the sisters, the two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Venkamagaru's husband was alive. I've seen him also. And after that, Janaki Ramaya, who was still a young bachelor at that time. This was, you know, the hierarchy or whatever you would call it. They would have to be brought by the devotees with the reverence, with the village band and the Nadaswaram.
To where Swami was sitting?
They would be ushered into, that time there was an auditorium. It was a very crude form in comparison to this. And they would be ushered in by these lady devotees. First, of course, the Nadaswaram and the band, and the lady devotees who were, bringing plates of all sacred things and holy things, you see, items. Behind them, Swami's family would come, and Swami would be sitting on the dais. And at that time, all of us could garland him. So all the devotees would be waiting with garlands in their hand. And first, the mother would get onto the steps of the dais, along with the father. There would be one elderly Sumangali holding a silver vessel of oil, which has been boiled with various type of
perfumes.
Herbs. And first the mother, it was a sight to see. Swami would bend down, he said, from the throne, and she would take a flower, dip it in the oil, and thrice she would place it on his head, and it would follow. And in those days, some of the devotees also. So father and mother were called with a lot of trepidity. I was with a longing to do it, but I didn't have the guts to get up the Rai, he said.
He called you anyway.
He called me. And then I've also anointed Bhagwan. It was a wonderful sight. And the devotees, one by one, they would go and garland him. And up to the neck, you know, he'd be garlanded. And each time he would remove the garlands and throw them to a side. That was what it was.
Ma'am, I know from my contact with you that you have a very fine sense of humor. Did you learn it from Bhagwan? And can you tell us of some amusing incident of those early days which demonstrates Bhagwan's love for humor?
My father had a tremendous sense of humor. He has bequeathed it to his children.
So you got it from your father.
But I got
anything
it from
relating to Swami's humor, you know? Because Bhagwan also has a very fine,
a tremendous sense of humor. I can tell you
one incident, amusing incident.
Amusing in a sense, something which happened at home. In those days, in the early days, early 50s, Swami would come and stay with us when he came to Bangalore. We had a cook, a long-standing lady, very good cook. She would cook the food with some other help. Swami, of course, He with so much of love, whether it was to his taste or not, we didn't know, because we cook Brahmin food. He used to eat it, and she had so much of devotion. And she was a virgin widow. And a Brahmin virgin widow, her sort of situation is something, you see, none too pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in those days, and she was, by the time, I think, when she came to us, she was about 60 years. And the head would be shaven off.
Yes.
And then she had to wear a red sari among us, the Madhva Brahmins, 9 yards, and no blouse. This is the way, you know,
the tradition.
Women were sort of, I would say, belittled, whatever it is. So, as soon as she saw Swami, I think all the privation she had suffered in her life, humiliation, frustration, just welled out and she sobbed. Swami consoled her. Then, as he would come, you see, occasionally, he would go to her, he would talk to her and all that, and she would sort of have these dry sobs. Then his humor. Yemi, nearly leni tanko.
Tank without water.
Tank without water, because of the dry sobs. Swami's sense of humor.
Just one or two very small questions. After all these years with Bhagwan, supposing you were asked,
yes,
who is Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba and what does he mean to you? What would you say?
As a child, being brought up by parents who are pious and religious, we have listened to many of the stories of the gods.
Yes.
And our own mat guru, they would come, we would host them, what we call bhiksha.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do the puja, though it was ritualistic, in a lovely aesthetic way. And this, as from childhood to adolescence, I think, this had seeped into me. And mother would get up early, light the lamp, make the puja ready for father. Father would not sit and do the puja, but whatever had to be done, he would done. But he had a mind and a heart of gold, my father. It's not that I want to talk about my father, but I remember him with so much love and gratitude. What happened was, it had perhaps got registered in our minds that God is a supreme one and everything goes on according to his will. Then the question arises when we came to Sai Baba.
Hmm.
I mean, this was some of the very die-hard opinions in those days. Can a Brahmin, I'm talking very frankly,
Yes.
Can a Brahmin go to somebody, I mean, who's of a different caste, and such Brahminical rituals and rites are not performed there? How can they go and then worship him? These were the questions even raised by my uncles. My father had 8 brothers. And a very, I suppose, I don't call it a very rigid one, but truly Brahminical house it was. So that was a question asked of my father. And father, of course, did not bother about it. This was one side where our Brahminical family, etc., was concerned. So once, our Mutt Jeer, as we call him, Swami.
The head of the...
The head.
Mutt.
Well, he sent word, they have these Diwans, as they call them. They send these, their emissaries first, to see if the house is comfortable, because they come with a lot of entourage. Many disciples will come. The house should have a well, because the Swami will bathe only in well water and all his disciples. So when the Diwan came, at that time, in our sitting room, we had just then gone to Baba, and all that I can say is, there are certain things felt intuitively. You cannot give a rational
definition,
analysis of it. Father was also enraptured, leave alone mother. And I, at my age, I don't know what touched the inner chords within me. Every time it was a feeling of ecstasy and ecstasy alone. How can this happen? It just can't be accidental. And so the Diwan came and then he saw this big and large photograph of Bhagavan in the hall. In the hall it is because they've got this sort of huge golden, what you would call, mandir-like thing these Swamijis have. They keep it in a big hall, lot of decoration and all that. So the hall was necessary for them. So he looked at this photograph and said, I mean in Kannada, I don't know who will understand it, but it would be nice if I say it in Kannada. Raire, ee photo yardu? Sir, whose photo is this?
He was addressing your father.
My father. My father said, it is the photo of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And he said, Raire, Swami gadu bartare, idana tegadupudi.
What is that?
The Swamiji is coming. Remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Father said, nimige yake adu? Atharvalla, nim nanna kedabardu, nodkolona. Don't ask me these unnecessary questions.
Your father said it.
Yes. What else father said, you know? It's something, so I was the daughter of such a father. Then the Swamiji came. He had to perforce keep the whole mandir, etc., right under Bhagavan's picture. And of course, lovely puja. Even that, they do it lot of devotion. And the Madhva way of doing it is, in the end, they keep jhula for God. And then they sing these songs, which are lilting and enchanting. They tie the bells, boy disciples. Bells are on their legs. They keep the star in their hands.
They dance.
They jump in ecstasy and sing. It's a very wonderful sight. So after the number of days that he stayed with us, he was about to leave. And then he called my father personally. I was there then. My mother was busy elsewhere. Rai Rai Libani, come here, he called my father. Shall I say it in Kannada or just straight off in English?
Whatever way, ma'am, because if you think there is something profound.
He said, you are the son of Bailey Srinivasa Rao, a staunch Brahmin of the Madhva cult. How is it you are going to a Daitya? Daitya means a demonic individual.
So that is how he addressed
me. Yes, yes. Father, listen to him. And then he put him a question, Father. Swamigale, could you tell me to what caste Sri Rama belonged?
Beautiful.
To what caste did Sri Krishna belong? Who was Shabari, who gave to Sri Rama the fruits she had tasted? Can you give me an answer for that? Rai re idu adhika prasanga, he said. You're talking too much, he said. Then he said, all right, you are the head of our mutt. I will listen to you. But give me just one sort of mantra wherein I can distinguish Adhaitya from divinity.
Okay. He was nonplussed.
Nonplussed. And he said, don't ask me unnecessary questions. So the Swamiji was floored. So to all of us, Swami was God incarnate.
Bhagavan's story is unending.
Unending.
It is infinite in its dimensions. One can hardly exhaust its contents, but stop, we must for now. That is all we have time for, ma'am. But one last question, and you may answer briefly. What is your message to newcomers to the Sai fold?
Have faith, unswerving faith. Stop the vagaries of the mind, which goes into unnecessary analysis, because our minds are very limited. Stop the mind from unnecessary reasoning. Have faith, believe, accept, and you shall see from day to day what bliss, what happiness we derive, and how our character develops, wherein nothing bad can ever affect us. We can just cross over onto the shore of divine bliss.
Ma'am, thank you very much for sharing your very rich experiences with Bhagwan, with the listeners of Radio Sai. It was a privilege having you here on Radio Sai. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rajeshwari. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.